الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله اتقوا الله اتقوا الله رحمكم الله وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة وقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كن في الدنيا كأنك حريب أو عابر السبيل صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله علي الكريم As always, we give all thanks and all praise only to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided us all to Islam, to Iman, the belief structure. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide each and every one of us to the higher levels of consciousness called Ihsan. أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِلَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ This to be so conscious of Allah in everything we say, everything we do, even everything we think, as if we are standing in the presence of Allah. Even if we cannot see Allah, let us all be very, very sure that Almighty Allah sees all. And on the day of Hisab, the day of judgment, we'll be held accountable and to ransom only to Almighty Allah. We ask Almighty Allah to invoke His peace and His blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Brother Arshad just stated, I'm going to talk about a little bit about dying, the process of dying and death. Possibly this time allows me a little bit as to what happens after death as well. As Muslims, it is time for us to reassess our approach to the subject of death and dying. Dying is understood to be part of life. In fact, I always put a little humor to this and say it's the only thing you can be dead sure about is every one of us will most certainly die sooner rather than later. Sometimes, as Muslims, we don't want to know about the processes that will occur after we die, or even the process of dying itself, because we are afraid, don't even want to talk about it, let alone think about it. However, this should not be the attitude of a Muslim. The hadith I quoted, the Prophet ﷺ stated, live in this world as if you are a stranger passing through. In other words, what he's saying is, this is not our destination. This is our journey. So therefore, if the destination is beyond this journey, like with every journey, then we need to know about the destination. We need to book our passage to and at the destination. We need to know about the journey's itinerary, not just one part of it. We should also understand a lot about the destination. And as Muslims, we should be foremost in learning and understanding about death, dying, so that we can organize our lives accordingly. We are urged by Almighty Allah Himself in the Holy Quran to deal with the processes with grace, with patience. Like many Muslims, my work that I do, when they find out that they are going to die, they are quite appalled and indignant, and sometimes they protest in agony and outrage. Dying or the processes of dying is normally also associated with pain, trauma, and it is normal as humans to fear suffering, to react to it with anger and frustration because we feel oppressed by it and powerless against it. Denial of our own power lies at the root of suffering. Quite often, suffering blocks our iman, our faith. And many questions are asked. I normally get asked questions like, why me? Why not somebody else? Why am I being punished by Allah? And young people invariably ask the question, why me now? Why me now? I'm 22 years old, I'm 23 years old, why now? Why not later? For Muslims, these sources of information, which constitute what we call the Sharia. Sharia comes from the word Shari, means pathway. It is first Kalamullah, the book of Allah, the Quran. So therefore we have to look for our information in the book of Allah, Kalamullah. Secondly is the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad SAW. Thirdly, it is Ijma, the consensus of opinion of the great scholars of Islam. That simply means that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel has already been invented for us, been perfected for us. So we need to consult the works of the great ulama-i karam, if you like, the scholars of Islam. And fourthly, qiyas, analogy. We compare things as to what happened in the time of the Prophet. One verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what will happen to us about suffering. And suffering is not a curse from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 155 to 157. These are very well quoted verses. I think every time there's a khutbah, you hear somebody quote parts of these verses. In there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. These verses are addressed to يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The verses that precede us, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّكَسِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We know that part of the verse. I think every Muslim knows that last part of the verse. Yeah, Allah speaks about ibtilas, balas. This word, I think, is somehow misconstrued in Islam. Doesn't mean a calamity. It means a test, a trial from Allah. Allah says, whilst you're on the dunya, O true believer, we, Allah, and Allah speaks plural of majesty, we will test you. So you'll be tested with many things, Allah says. Kullu shay, many things. You'll be tested, and in these verses Allah mentions a few things, in other verses Allah mentions other things. Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّكْسِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Khawf, fear. You're going to fear for your life. You're going to fear for the life of your partner, your child. Khawf, ju' means hunger. I work with people who have cancer of the throat, cancer of the stomach, and they do die from hunger. And I'm not even talking about third world countries, real third world countries. I'm talking about you and me. Some of us, ya Allah says, you will be tested with hunger, you will die from hunger. Jew min al khawfi wal ju'in wa naqsi min al amwal. Loss of your earnings, you will be in an accident, house will burn down. Allah says here, wa bashiri sabirin, and give glad tidings to those when they are tested from me, Allah. They will turn to me with sabr. The verses that precede this is sabr and salah. They will turn to me with patience, absolute perseverance and patience. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The scholars interpret this to mean, not only will you turn to Allah with patience, sabr, when you are tested, you will also believe, your iman will increase in Allah, that this is indeed from Allah. Everything comes from Allah. And you will even utter qalu, means to say, oh Allah, I accept, this is from you, everything comes from you, and ultimately everything will return back unto you. So this is instruction from Allah Almighty Himself. When things happen to us, sickness, death, dying, pain, whatever it is, terminal illness, that we ought to turn to Allah. And this is not very simple. After all, we are mere mortals, we are mere human beings. I can tell you it's not very simple simply to increase. Allah says we need to go through the processes. And it is normal to doubt, it is normal to question. And Allah knows this. The last verse says here, if you turn to Allah after having questioned, after having gone through the process, and you increase your iman and you turn to Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتُ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. What Allah is saying is here, three things will happen to you if you have uplifted yourself to that level of belief, turning to Allah and believing that everything comes from Allah and everything will return back unto Allah. Ulaika alayhim salawat. On those people I will send the angels to bring salawat and barakat upon them, to bring them to peace and to bring blessing from Allah. Wa rahma, junction, wa rahma, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. That's also in the word rahma, forgiveness. Why forgiveness? Because Allah knows we are mere mortals, we would have questioned. We would not have straight away come into acceptance. We would have questioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why me, Allah? Why not somebody else? I'm a good person. Why this? We would have asked all these questions. Allah knows. And now that we have come to the level of acceptance, Allah says here, wa rahmah, my forgiveness, my mercy, and my compassion will descend upon you. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. And I, Allah, will most certainly guide you right from this point on, whether it's to death, or whether it's to health, or whether it's to good things or to better things. Allah says, I will guide you. So I think it's wonderful, classical Quranic verses from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The text must be understood in the context. Also the hadith I've quoted from the Prophet, where he said, understand that you are here on a journey. This life, 80 years, 60 years, 70 years, people die at 22 years. It's a short journey. And your life is in the hereafter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we need to look at information about our destination. Death is also something that ought not to be viewed to us. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحَيْكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْزَعُونَ. You were dead first, you had no life, you were nothing before. I, Allah, gave you life. You went through the processes of the embryo into the fetus, and I gave you life, and I will give you death. You will die again, physical death, as we. Then I will give you life again. You'll find also in Surah Mulk, Allah speaks about death first, then life. Physical death first, then the real life. The real life is to come, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse that I quoted in my introduction also is a formula among many formulae in the Holy Quran about death and dying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, Kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut. Every one of you will most certainly taste of death. Allah is a very special word. Like the Quran, every word is carved and chiseled out to bring out special meanings. Allah uses the word da'ka, which means to taste. Every one of you will taste of death. Why taste? Why didn't Allah just say every one of you will die? Because each and every person has a different experience with dying. I bear witness to this. I bear testimony to this because I'm at the bedside when people, when they die. Everyone has this unique and different experience. That is why Allah says taste. Because our taste buds are all different. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَا أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah mentions يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, yeah, the day of resurrection. Allah says here, some of us will come to Allah on that day. Allah says there, they would have attained or obtained the purpose of this life. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَا أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُخْزِخَ عَنِ النَّارِ. Those are excluded from the fire. Allah says here, they would have attained or obtained the purpose of this life. And the verse ends with Illa Matau Hurur. Do not become too fond of this world. Allah says here, this is you're passing through in complete harmony with the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You're passing through, Allah says here, this world is a shackle of deception. You are deceiving yourself. So I think the message, very powerful, both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our lives here need to be good lives. We need to pass through here leaving our mark. And I normally say that after death, people's lives should be celebrated, what they've left behind. We should celebrate people's lives. And I mean celebrate, I mean by doing good things in their name, remembering them, remembering all the good they've left behind. People should just not be forgotten altogether. People's lives should be celebrated after their death. Now, we find that in the 1960s, there were some clinical psychologists. I'd like to share this with you. I know I have to condense this and run through it very quickly, but I'd like to share some of these things with you. There's Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Raymond Moody, some of us must have read their books, Life After Life, Melvin Morse, all clinical psychologists, and they wrote many articles about near-death experiences, NDEs it's called. And when they came to some conference, psychologist conference, they compared notes and they discovered that their case histories were identical. And I'd just like to run through some of these things with you. A near-death experience, I think, is something that we are familiar with. We see it on TV every day. where after cessation of heartbeat, whilst they are in the process of resuscitating the person with electrical impulses, there's a flat line. In other words, flat line simply means you are dead, physically dead. But after resuscitation, they would interview these people, and they discovered that the case history is very similar, in fact very much the same. But I'd just like to run through this with you. They all write about people saying there was a strange sound and beautiful smell immediately when they were in a state of death, if you like, clinical death. There was peace and absolute painlessness. They had pain before in that process, no pain. They had an OBE, out of body experience, were floating around in the operating theater or wherever. They also spoke about people of light. They met people of light, beings of light. And they were also in the presence of a great being of light, and they were questioned, asked about their life here. It's called the life review. And at a certain point of this, they had great reluctance to return back to the state. One common question that all these clinical psychologists asked was, what possible evolutionary pressure could have resulted in these NDEs? Why would dying brains suddenly have the ability to perceive other realities? Now, I need to tell you, this has been in the Quran for 1430 years. NDEs have been in the Quran for 1430 years. All the great Islamic scholars are writing about it. Everybody's getting on the bandwagon and write about it. It comes out of chapter 39, verse 42. I'd like you to make a little mental note of this. Chapter 39, verse 42. I'll just give you a brief translation of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us, it is He, Allah, that takes the souls of men upon death. So death is simply a separation of the physical from the spiritual. The physicality becomes thin and spirituality pushes through. The spirit is removed by, as we understand, molecular moat removes the spirit, physical from the spiritual. It is He, Allah, that takes the souls of men at the point of death, and those that die not, He takes during the sleep. So what Allah is telling us, in sleep, during sleep, that's why we can have lengthy dreams in a short space of time. There's soul extension, not soul separation, soul extension. So the soul gets extended during sleep. And on those who is the past the decree of death, He keeps back their souls from turning to their body. They are dead, they will be buried, they're finished. But the last part of the verse, very significant. But the rest, others, Allah says, He send their souls back to their body for their term appointed by He, Allah. So Allah took their souls, there was physical death for a period, and Allah says, I return their souls back. Make a mental note of this, please. Read the exegesis, especially the one by Ibn Kathir and some latter day by Jamal Badwi and these people. You'll find chapter 39, verse 42. Everybody's writing about it, briefly. You know, and these people tend to think in the 60s when they discovered this, it was something new. It's been in the Quran 1430 years. Also, if you look at this Islamically, in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to wash corpses, dead bodies, he would speak to the corpses. The Prophet would speak to the corpses. Well documented in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i, all these sahih, authentic series you'll find that there are these ahadith where the Prophet used to speak to bodies when he washed. And no less a person than the great Amir al-Mu'mineen said, now Umar used to come to the Prophet at one state and ask, well, how can you speak to a dead person? And the Prophet said, he can hear better than you. He can hear and understand better than you. Now the person is dead and the Prophet is saying. Then there's a very famous hadith in Bukhari after the battle of Badr. When the Quraysh, some of the Quraysh were killed, they came to fight the Prophet alayhi salam. There were some friends and relatives, but they were Quraysh, they were idol worshippers, they were mushriks, and they were buried in a mass grave. And before the Prophet returned back to Medina, he stood at the edge of the grave. This is well documented in Bukhari, most authentic series. The Prophet mentioned them by name. And the Prophet said to them, would it not have been better if you believed in Allah and His Rasul? How can your idols help you now? And again, great Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, came to the Prophet and said, how can you speak to these people? They are buried, they are dead. And the Prophet said, I swear by He who holds Muhammad's soul in His hand, meaning swears by Allah, they can hear and understand better than you. Now this is absolutely significant. You know, there are lots of debates going around about this, but this is a hadith of the Prophet. This is too a hadith of the Prophet. Let's go to Allah. Let's go to Allah. Allah Himself tells us in the Holy Quran, in chapter 2, verse 153, Allah says, وَلَا تَكُولُوا لِمَنْ يُكْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Do not say of those who have died in the way of Allah. Now, I think scholars normally interpret dying in the way of Allah as people fighting in battles and stuff. Not necessarily. You're coming here today. You're coming here to worship Allah. You come, you are in the way of Allah. If you were knocked down by a bus on the way here, you would have been killed in the way of Allah. Oh, going to work for our families there, it's in the way of Allah. Everything we do, fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah. And when something happens to us, we would have died in the way of Allah. Do not say those who have died in the way of Allah, they are dead. Nay, they are alive. But you, men, you cannot understand it. I don't think for one minute did the Prophet or Almighty Allah tell us they were alive physically. They were dead physically. But Allah is saying there is some consciousness after death. Consciousness after death. So after the process of actual death, there will be some consciousness. And these near-death experiences bear witness and testimony to this as well. My time has run out. I would love to have gone on and on, and I can speak about this for hours. It's my favorite subject. Let us just define and conclude with this definition of what it is that Allah wants from us while we are here. In the Holy Quran, Allah speaks about Nasul Ammara Bisu, the carnal self, the animal self, biological self, the mammal self, simply eating, drinking, existing. And in Surah Qiyamah, Allah swears by the day of Qiyamah. Allah says here that Allah wants us to change to Nasul Lawama, the changing self, the evolving self. Allah wants this. So you can see there's a movement here. But Allah's not going to help us or change us, because Allah Himself tells us twice in the Holy Quran, He will not change the condition of a person or a people except that they change what is within themselves. So we must change. We must come to realization, to Nasul Lawama, and develop from the carnal self. And finally, on the deathbed, inshallah, Allah will address us as the last few verses of Surah Fajr. Nafsul mutmainna. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna. Irji'i ila Rabb. Return unto your Lord. Allah is addressing the perfected self, the developed self that went through the processes, elevating himself spiritually to the levels of ihsan, consciousness of Allah in everything we do and say. Allah said, address us on the deathbed saying, irji'i ila Rabb, return back unto me. How? How does Allah want us to return back unto Him on the deathbed? Radiatam maradiyah. Where Allah will be pleased with us and we will be well pleased. And that should be our dua today, inshallah. That Allah must be pleased with us when we return back unto Him. And we will be well pleased. Radiatam maradiyah. Fadkhuli fi ibad. Enter into the zone or dimension, normally understood to be barzakh, because we don't go to Jannah, to Jahannam immediately after death. With the Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Shuhadai, wa Salihin. This should be our dua today as well. That Allah must let us be in barzakh with the prophets, the martyrs, and the righteous people. And finally, Allah says, after resurrection, enter into my paradise. A promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think the message, very, very clear, that our lives here should be good lives. We should love one another, respect one another. Live good lives, be of help to mankind, so people can celebrate our lives after death, after we have passed on. We can leave behind good things, good children, good families, good deeds, so that people can remember us after death. And work through this so that inshallah, if Allah so wills, Allah must address us on the deathbed as Nafsul Mutmainna, inshallah. My dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bless all of us, Allah must assist us to be good people, inshallah, to reach the high levels of Nafsul Mutmainna. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'na bil ayat wa dhikr hakim. Innahu ta'ala jawadul kareemun malikul barul raufur rahim. Akulu qawli hadha astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah alladhi mali wa lakum. Wa liwalidayya wa liwalidikum wa lisairil mu'minina wa mu'minat min kulli dham. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah, الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهدي الله فلا مضل له وما يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله رحمكم الله وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم. Come let us pray, let us make dua. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا. والله grant us absolute and complete iman, to believe in your Allah, true yaqeen, Allah, to know when we make dua that you will respond. As you say in the Holy Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دَوْنِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask of me when you are traumatized and I will most certainly respond to your duas. Allah, we beg that you to respond to all our duas, inshaAllah. وَتَوْبَةً قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ وَرَاحَةً عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَمَغْفِرَةً وَرَحْمَةً بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Wallah, before death, give each and every one of us the opportunity, inshaAllah, to be able to die with the kalima shahada in our tongues and to do good and righteous deeds, Allah. عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ, Allah, let us die with the kalima, bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His forgiveness. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stated in the hadith, if a person has lived a fairly good life and he happens to die uttering the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, dakhala al jannah, Allah will most certainly reserve a place in the paradise for you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us that opportunity, inshallah. And ba'd al-maut, after maut, Allah, when we are questioned and interrogated by munkar and nakir, Allah make it all very, very easy for us, inshallah. And let the places in paradise be shown for all of us, inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar wa adkhilna al-jannata ma'al abrar ya aziz ya ghafar ya rabbal alameen. As always, Allah, we ask you to grant every one of us here and all the Muslim Ummah, inshallah, the good and the goodness of this life, the good and the goodness of the hereafter. Oh Allah, on the day of resurrection, when you resurrect us, exempt all of us from the fire of hell on that day, Allah. Let us all enter Jannah, inshallah, with the righteous people. عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.